offices are going without employees at the moment, and Republicans are cutting benefits in some states in response. But this feeds into a much larger conversation about wages and growth in the US. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. The $300 a week bonus to unemployment is meant to continue until September, but I believe we're up to 11 Republican-led states who are now refusing to pass on the federal money to unemployment recipients, claiming that the generous bonus is keeping businesses from being able to find workers. Biden insists that the American people want to work and that Republicans are underestimating them. But either way, that's a lot of people who are now a good deal shorter on cash. Ed, what's going on?
I think this is the new Democratic campaign. We promise you, if Republicans get elected, you'll be punished. If Democrats get elected, you'll be rewarded. I have never heard of anything as dumb as this. It'd be okay if they said, look, we're having trouble finding people for work, and we're going to aid them by making a better job queue, by improving this or that. But it's not the money that's keeping people from work. I've never heard someone say, if there was work available, and I had the skills, and I would be rewarded appropriately, that I would not take it. But I will not take a job that's going to degrade me, will not improve my skills, and keep me from looking or training for a better opportunity. This is absolutely preposterous.
Look, some progressives, it's worth noting, have pushed to make the increase permanent. Biden, for his part, has insisted people will lose their benefits if they turn down suitable jobs. Now, this really raises the question, Ed, how does the government decide what is a suitable job?
We have that problem everywhere in the world, particularly here in Australia. There are signs all over the place for people to come to work. But all over the place means the place where I see them most often, and that's in coffee shops, barber shops, and places like that, where people have decided this is not the kind of work that I can sustain my family on. If I get a few more dollars, I may be able to retrain myself, start my own business or something. After having taken a year away from a bad job, you start thinking about, why do I want to go back to something that is inferior to what I had before? Or is the saying, if I can't stand it. People have nightmares, and I did myself, from washing dishes. You're in the middle of the night, and you can just see another dish flying by. You don't want to keep that going. So I think what we have here is people making sensible decisions about work. Slavery is long past. People have an opportunity to find work that fits their talents and abilities.
Well, this is just it. I mean, it comes a lot down to wages. If I'm making more on unemployment than a job that has no chance of advancement and is taking up the time and resources that, as you mentioned there, could perhaps be spent on a worthier pursuit, I'm not just inclined, I'm obligated to do the best thing for myself and my family and take that unemployment. Look, a lot of people are saying if these businesses can't pay a living wage, then maybe they shouldn't exist as businesses. Do you think this is a turning point, Ed?
Yes, I think there are a couple of things that's going to happen, though. One of them is we've come to recognize that bad jobs don't lead to good jobs. When I was a kid, my grandfather said, this broom fits your fingers. That means if you get up in the morning and learn the skills of going to work, you can find good work. That ladder is not there anymore. You have to start in something that can lead to something, or you'll be in a dead end the rest of your life. And there's been a good study done that we might talk about later about the people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. they felt they're in a dead end and Trump could let them out of it. They were people who were what we'd call good jobs, good blue collar or light blue collar jobs, but they weren't going to make foreman. They weren't going to make captain because they didn't have a larger education, couldn't meet the larger educational requirements. Blacks and women and Hispanics were being preferred because the qualifications now allow people who formerly were opted out, knocked out because of the color of their skin or their sex. Now they have to compete with everybody and they don't like it. The other end of the scale is, why should I go back to what you're calling work and I'm calling slavery? And I think the Republicans are making a big mistake. They're going to start losing the people at the bottom who hope for change.
I really think maybe at some point we should do a longer episode. The dust has settled on January 6th and the participants there. But I really think, looking at some of the things that are going on in the world right now, if you want to stop a revolution, and that was obviously an attempt at a revolution, you need to give people something to lose. If people feel they have nothing to lose, well, then why not try to revolt for something new?
That's right. And we should talk about this more.
Taxes and five former IRS chiefs have come together with an opinion piece saying the Biden tax plan would make America's system fairer, upping the responsibilities of the uber rich. Biden has also met with Republicans regarding his $2 trillion infrastructure plans, and they've reportedly drawn a red line over increasing taxes, suggesting if Biden is going to go ahead, Democrats are again going it alone. Ed, what's your take?
My take is they had made that decision before they walked in the room, but they walked into a trap. Biden can say, I did everything I could to get these guys on this boat. This is going to make life better for Americans, and they refuse to get on. Moreover, he can say, based on what you just pointed out, the people who run the tax system said the adjustments that are being proposed make the tax system more equal, not less equal. What are the Republicans going to say? They don't like the money? If it's $3 trillion for the rich, they like. But if it's $2 trillion for the poor, they don't like. This will not wash.
Gas shortages and fears of a Mad Max situation have gripped the eastern half of the United States following a cyber attack on a major fuel pipeline. I believe that pipeline is now back in order, and Biden has signed an executive order to improve federal cybersecurity following the ransomware attack. But it does show how delicate these things can be. Ed, what's going on?
Well, I think it says, as you just said, the U.S. for the last 4 years and before that was resting on its assets. We think we know the best about cybersecurity. All along, the intelligence people were telling us there's some people out there who are moving very fast in this area, and we must provide more resources to building electronic fences to keep them out, as well as electronic hardware to damage them if they damage us. So it's almost a good thing this happened, because it's happened to hurt a lot of people, and they will now believe that this cybersecurity issue is real and we have to get on with it. That'll be more money to be spent that the Republicans don't want to spend.
The National Rifle Association has been denied an attempt to claim bankruptcy while it faces a lawsuit from the state of New York regarding alleged financial abuses. Ed, what's happening here?
Well, the National Rifle Association, on Trump's suggestion, said they moved to Texas and reopen, and that way they would escape the bankruptcy that they had to go through in New York and the punishments that the officials would have to go through if they're still located in New York, because they had basically defrauded the company of millions of dollars, the so-called nonprofit organization, and they thought they could get away with this. Well, the judge decided this was not a reorganization. It was an escape plan, and it was going to be shut down. So these individuals and the organization will not be above the law and face the full extent and consequences of law. What will this mean? It means the National Rifle Association will be stripped of all of its assets, and the people in it cannot start a new organization with a name anything like this or do business in this sphere. They will have to start all over again. And if they go down to Texas and try to start, it might be something like this Arizona bank recount. They might be at it forever. And that's a good thing.
Regarding COVID-19 this week, look, obviously we could go on and on about state-by-state responses, but Florida has garnered some attention this week. Cruise lines are threatening to withdraw from the state due to state government insistence that vaccination passports or vaccinations are not required to board ships. They're also threatening to any business or school to fine them $5,000 anytime they require proof of a COVID-19 vaccination. Ron DeSantis is fighting a purely political battle here, not a battle against COVID, just a battle on politics. Does this one have sustainability, Ed?
These companies mean what they say. They cannot put their passengers in jeopardy when they know full well they will be sued if they do so. When I was in law school, there's a very famous case about this with a cruise ship that gave a small warning and a person was hurt very much. So if a company knows there is a liability, they must do everything they can to protect the person who buys the ticket. The ticket is a license, and that license suggests that you should be able to participate in an event in those facilities and come out the same way you went in. So they don't want to face those liabilities. And I suspect this will be great for New Orleans, my old hometown. We will have a lot of cruise ships leaving Louisiana.
And looking abroad, Israel, here's a bit of a thorny one. Violence is escalating in the Gaza Strip. As of this morning, the death toll on the Gaza side is 65, including 16 children. On the Israeli side, at least 6 people, including 1 teenager, are also dead. A huge blaze at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, one of the holiest sites in Islam, fears this one could escalate into outright war, if you can't call this one a war already. Ed, thoughts?
This is desperation. The right wing, the kind of military-controlled wing, is trying to establish control by giving more and more people the ability to move into occupied territory. That line was drawn more than a decade ago. The Palestinians have said dying is a small price to pay for keeping our land and what little liberty we have. So this will be all out war. They have nothing to lose. And the Palestinians are angry, and the Israelis are weak politically because 2/3 of the people don't want to go there.
Just looking at the response among American politicians, though, people are quick to play all or nothing on Israel. You're either all in on supporting Israel or Palestine, or you're completely out of the conversation. And I think the situation's obviously more complex than that. But I think it is undeniable that this situation has come about because of Israel's continuing expansion into Gaza, ousting and riding roughshod over Palestinians. And as you say there, part of this is the right-wing government sort of distracting from this absolute disaster their political system is in at the moment, which we've obviously spoken about before. Can the Biden administration continue to support Israel the way it has done in those circumstances?
Well, I think it'll come up with something like this. We will help you if you help yourselves by withdrawing as far back as you can toward those 77 borders.
Mm.
So we will support you in those moves, provide you with the armaments and so forth to defend that line. But if you stay where you are, you're on your own.
Russia and opposition leader Alexei Navalny, following his poisoning, his arrest, and a 24-day hunger strike. Look, one bizarre caveat to this story this week is a top doc that was involved in his treatment following the poisoning reappeared after disappearing into forest for several days. That appears to just be coincidence. But nonetheless, after all these things have occurred, what's happening, Ed?
Well, I don't know why the doctor disappeared. Probably to be re-educated that Navalny was not poisoned when he was. He is still very strident, very tough. He knows he's probably going to lose his life in this struggle, but he is gathering momentum while he does so. He may even be too weak to run for any public office at this point, but as long as he's around, he's a trouble. And if he's not around, he's a bigger trouble. Putin now has an enemy of the state, and he's creating a bigger and bigger one. I think at some point, the Russian military are going to say, Mr. Putin, you ought to find something else to do. You are the problem.
Back in the States, and the Arizona recount, which was meant to be an exercise from Republicans in correcting the score in the 2020 presidential election, it is just going absolutely terribly. Arizona Republican State Senator Paul Boyer has called it embarrassing, ridiculous, and that it makes us look like idiots. The actual results were meant to be coming out this week. They're actually meant to be coming out tomorrow. But that's been pushed back to August because it's been going so slowly. And there's just been so little professionalism. If the count actually returns a result for Biden, I'll be insisting on a recount. I mean, it could return a result for Ross Perot at this point. Ed, what's your thoughts?
Well, when you're looking for a needle in a haystack and we're in the wrong barn, your chances of finding it are very slim. We know from all research that less than 200 ballots are ever corrupted in a big election. I'm talking about millions of votes being cast. Voters are not children, they're adults. If you have a job, you're not going to risk your job by a fallacious vote. The people who commit these crimes do it semi-professionally. That is, their grandmother or somebody died, they cast a ballot for them. They are easy to find. And it turns out most of them were Trump voters looking for additional ballots.
Mm.
So these guys are now trying to do several things. One, to see if people live in the residences that are on their voting certificates. That has nothing to do with the ballot. And the judges said, don't go there. The police have said, Republican police forces said, don't go there. That is a violation of your rights. The other thing they're trying to do is use infrared and things like this to say the ballot paper wasn't correct. Well, if every ballot paper was the same, how are you going to do that? And even if you did it, the next people around would say, okay, let's test this ballot paper. And if we find any of it to be actually the same as all the others, you are now caught in a lie. So they're caught in a very serious, difficult problem of finding something that isn't fair. Now, she started looking for UFOs. Well, I think their chances are far better.
Liz Cheney, as we've discussed before, has been officially booted from her post as chair of the House Republican Conference because she refused, unlike the rest of the party, to accept the narrative from Donald Trump that 2020 was an illegitimate election stolen from Trump and that Biden is essentially an illegitimate president. Meanwhile, this week, more than 100 Republicans, including former governors, members of Congress, and a Bush-era cabinet secretary, are threatening to leave the GOP and form their own party if Republicans don't renounce Trump's big lie. Could the party actually fracture, Ed?
Well, I don't know where the sign-up is, but I'm going to join. look, the smart thing, I think, and I've said this before, is for Blacks to start joining the Republican Party. As weak as it is, nothing would put it in greater disarray. This is, you know, kind of Don Quixote. If the windmill is there, they might hit it. But what they're doing systematically by doing this to Liz Cheney, this ballot counting, and all this other kind of stuff, and restricting voters' rights, is moving themselves into a deeper and deeper cavern. And they are only talking to themselves. They've forgotten that people, when they go out to vote, vote for people, principles, and programs, the three P's of politics. They have no principles, they have no policies, they have no programs. Lose.
And just before I let you go, Ed, fallout from the US Census. Population figures obviously have implications for the amount of seats in Congress. New York, I believe, is losing a seat. They fell just 89 people short from keeping it. California's population has also gone backwards. But Texas and Florida, obviously Republican-held, have gained seats. What's it all mean?
That means Democrats have moved to those states. I'm serious. The people who leave a state, for the most part, have mobile jobs, are well-educated, and they can make that choice. The reason Georgia is now Democratic is for that reason. People from New York and elsewhere got tired of the cold weather, as my daughter is making the same move. She's going to Virginia from Massachusetts. And she and her husband will bring two more Democratic votes to Virginia. California turned Oregon into a Democratic state. It was long a Republican state. So was Colorado. So those shifts mean bad news for Republicans, because the people who are moving to Texas are not moving to outback places. They're moving to Austin, Dallas, and Houston. And those are the places that will carry Texas next time, as Atlanta has this time. I'm actually delighted with these moves. California is not going to lose very many people from the House. And when you've got 50 some votes and electoral votes and the like, a couple less doesn't hurt. But if you can move those electoral votes to a real swing state, you can make a huge difference.
Ed and I will be back with plenty more news and analysis next week. Subscribe, don't miss a thing, wherever you find the podcast, and check us out, US of Ed, as well on Facebook and Twitter.